College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to banter into the beautiful sport of college football. Now, sure, I know what you're going to say. Beautiful, Chris. Have you seen what the hell's going on? Ohio State may not even make it into the conference final. Notice how they now go, we're going to have to tweak those rules, which we all knew they were going to have to maybe tweak the rules anyway. But here we are back again. We're going to start with some recap from actually a pretty entertaining week 13 with the games that actually did get played. We had some marquee matchups, no doubt about it, that turned out to be pretty good games. Obviously, Texas, Iowa State came down to the wire. Oregon State pulled an upset over Oregon. Notre Dame was in a good game with Carolina until they kind of, went ahead of them and just never got caught up. And then one of the big ones really was Michigan State, Northwestern, coming off that big win, coming off, feeling good on the way to, well, they'll probably still be in the west side of the Big Ten championship game, but Michigan State pulls off a victory 29-20 over Northwestern. Actually a pretty fun game, Big 12 style, 50-44 with Oklahoma and Texas Tech. So we'll talk a little bit about what happened in week 13, I should say. We do have some interesting games, although we don't have a bunch of ranked versus ranked. 12 against 16, Indiana and Wisconsin could be interesting. There is some interesting matchups that we'll get to that could go either way. Iowa State's had a great season for their program. Could West Virginia nip them in the butt? You never know. Coastal Carolina in Liberty. Some of these non-Power 5 games and conferences have given us some entertainment. The AAC has given us plenty of entertainment, so we'll keep tabs with that. There's, of course, some games canceled. I think it got up to 13 again or 14 last week. I'm just kind of assuming that it'll be double digits. It'd be nice to keep it somewhere in the single digits, but you know how that goes. It is what it is. But, and also, speaking of small schools, Louisiana, Raging Cajuns, our squad, who's still hanging on there at the number 25, is Appalachian State going on the road. Appalachian State is favored by 2.5. So we'll dig into some of that. And last week, it's almost like we got this little debate out about the new rankings before we did the podcast. And I guess we already did that, didn't we? No, we didn't do it. We totally forgot. And I remember talking about it. And sure, I'm trying to rush the show and rush a segment to get to it. And then I plumb forget it anyway. So we're going to get that in and talk about the rankings, Ohio State, Cincinnati, where should they all fall? Should BYU be higher? Are they going to schedule another game? It felt like that's a good idea, but on the same breath, you're like, is it a good idea? Are you going to be able to, maybe that game gets canceled. Maybe it screws up some other game. So we're going to talk all about it. Of course, we'll have the crappy pick of the week to close the show, where my co-host Marshall just throws the crappiest game of the week at me and I have to pick it. And I think we're up to 7-3, 8-3 or something in that category. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. It streams live at archives. You don't have to go to Blog Talk, though, and hit that download or listen to the browser. You can find this platform to listen to the College Ball Show and other shows at Apple Podcast, through the Ropeadove Radio Podcast, I should say, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, a lot of other places. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football. It's baseball, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And one more thing before we get into this week 13, week 14 ranking stuff. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial. Once you sign up, there's no annual contract. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it everywhere, anywhere. Cloud DVR is included, of course. And right now, just for signing up, you get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. Here's another layer to that deal. If you sign up to the Max deal, that includes HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 on this platform. It's called AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, and see how he's doing. Couple of items to talk about just off top, and one of them is, you know, Northwestern going down after looking really, really strong in some of these key games. But what's going on, man? How you doing?
So whenever my group chat, whenever there's like a big breaking news thing, I always put like that red siren in the group chat. I don't have the voice to do a red siren alert. And I know this is a college football podcast, but this is worth bringing down because we're sport fans and most people who are sport fans love the NBA. Good old Wes Brick is going to the Wizards. John Wall's now a Houston Rocket. So literally just saw it. So, I mean, we're going to talk college football, but Russell Westbrook is now on a Wizards team and John Wall is now going to H-Town.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So just something. And so I'm assuming they're going to trade Harden then too, because I don't think there's enough basketballs on the court for Harden and John Wall. So, just something to share there. But yes, aside from our breaking NBA trade news, I'm doing pretty good, man. I just had my birthday last weekend. I made some bets because I thought that would make the weekend more enjoyable. They didn't. They actually made the weekend worse financially. I'm normally not an over better, but I saw two games on the schedule.
Did you bet
that
on Northwestern? Did I do it again? You didn't bet on Northwestern.
No.
I took. I led over with the show, and I know I've been doing that to you this year.
Yeah, I took the over in the Notre Dame North Carolina, and I took the over in the Egg Bowl. The over under in the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State was 70. Again, I know that's high, but I mean with the way you've seen Ole Miss play this year, they scored 35 points at half, and then they had a scoreless third quarter. So the Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach showdown let me down. And then I took the over 69.5 in the Notre Dame, North Carolina, and they had 28 points in the first quarter. And then they let me down. So middle finger to betting overs.
I forgot about that. It started like a storm troop. It did look like it was going to be a huge scoring guy. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then I guess offensive adjustments don't exist in college football. Or these the offense coordinators have the creativity of a nerd in high school. So whatever, screw them. Anyways, rants off the chest. I'm 36 though. I had a great birthday with some friends. So life is good. And we picked a bar to finish our night off at, and they had the Paul Nate Robinson fight, which I got to see. Which lets people know that not anyone can just go and box. It's tougher said than done. And then Mike Tyson won a fight where he got given a tie. So it was an interesting weekend, Chris. Many highs, many lows. Alcohol was consumed. And then I bet the Vikings, they didn't cover for me either. So all my rants are off my chest. But to go back to your original question before we hit the breaking news. Yes, Northwestern. Finally. We've talked a lot this year on our previous episodes about how, hey, this is the classic letdown spot for a college football team. But many times this year, the team was supposed to have a letdown moment hasn't had that moment. Like Notre Dame has sucked up. Like, and other teams have been like, oh, here's where Indiana would lose. Here's where Notre Dame would lose. And they've not done it.
Yeah, even Iowa State. You know, Iowa State held on.
Yeah, and so we finally had a team who had a classic college football letdown moment. So Northwestern, you know, they defensively stifle Wisconsin, and then you just have a slip up against a Michigan State team who is about as like a bipolar 50-50 team as you can have for college football.
Yeah.
This team looked like complete trash week one against Rutgers, had, I believe, 7 turnovers and lost the game to Rutgers. And then you went as a 24-point favorite against Michigan, or excuse me, as a 24-point underdog against Michigan. So this Michigan State team, a new coach, new system, a little bit something's different. They're showing they're capable of winning and losing pretty much almost any game. So credit to Michigan State. That's a nice win. Again, if you're a Sparty fan this year, you got to be wondering, can we get D'Antoni back? Like, can we get our regular 750 winning percentage and like just a simple good defense? And I mean, if you're a Michigan State fan, you're probably
something to rely on.
Yeah, you're adding to your liquor cabinet, because this year has just been a little crazy for you so far. Or, you know, or if you like drinking, so be it. So anyways, credit to them. But with as crazy as thing is, Northwestern still is in a good chance to play in the Big Ten title game. But this definitely hurt their chances for being a serious contender for a deeper run or looking at the playoffs, Chris, just because Wisconsin has so many damn virus bugs and the rest of their side of the bracket still kind of is a hot mess. But overall, right. That was a nice upset win. Again, a crazy season continues for Sparty. Northwestern, again, we also know, but we really realistically know, Chris, that there's a reason Northwestern was 200-1 at the start of the season, or I should say in this past summer to win their part of the Big Ten, or to win the Big Ten. Like, again, a good team, a great coach. This college has been adding to their facilities. Like, they do a lot of stuff right, my friend, but we still realistically know it's super hard to recruit there, because you're having to bring in the smartest bunch. There's no loopholes like maybe you have an SEC school. Like, these kids you're bringing in Northwestern are the top peak of our educational system. So again,
you know, redshirting, and they need that. You know, you see the lineup, it'll say junior, redshirt junior, and redshirt senior, and stuff like that.
I give Fitzgerald a lot of credit. So they did have a slip up, yes, my friend. But again, what he's doing there is pretty impressive. And I'll say this part to wrap up my interesting start to the show. But I heard on a different podcast, the guy was saying that there was rumors, like someone had heard that maybe the Jets were looking at Fitzgerald. So what's the best thing to do to get the hot press off you? Lose the game. Right. So is it possible that Pat Fitzgerald lost on purpose to avoid any potential chance of being a Jets head coach? You can't rule that out in a year like 2020.
But you also can't rule that out, that would line up with the Jets. You know, like, they lose a bad game. Hey, we need that coach. But yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And he's been on the table before, and not even on the table for the pros, but at other, you know, at other places in the college, mm-hmm. obviously, because mm-hmm. he's had a good program, relatively speaking. Speaking of relatively speaking good programs, Iowa State's been a really nice story. We know the Big 12 was done about 6 weeks ago as far as the national scene, but of course we're going to keep track of it. And they were down a good portion of this game, got down, you know, somewhere in the middle of the third quarter, 20-10, hung around. Breece Hall hung around. Like, they found a way to get it done and keep their position. Like I said, now 7-2. And a struggling, basically Ellinger has to do the run in the pass. And that's something that we talked about too. Like, hey, are they going to have a running back? It's kind of like Jalen Hurts last year, where it was like he was the running back and the quarterback, where he led. It's like, that's usually not that great of a combo. But at least they got a system in place there in Oklahoma where you're still going to win a bunch of games. Texas goes down and you figure, hey, this is going to be your year. Oklahoma's not great. Some other teams aren't maybe on the top of the shelf. This is your year, Texas. But Iowa State says no. And look at this. Iowa State is 4-6 against Oklahoma and Texas under Mack. The Cyclones were 7-84-2 before that, sitting at 7-1 in the conference. This is coming from The Athletic, by the way. They put out a weekly thing about all the different stats and stuff. It's kind of cool. It's a good talker. But, you know, a win at Texas is the first win in the road matchup of ranked teams since 1912. They're 1-10-1 now. Really good story here at Iowa State. And it's kind of solidifying that coach. It's something we've been keeping an eye on these last couple of years. And here it is coming to fruition. They're in the driver's seat to win the regular season. Of course, it'll be really interesting to see if they find a heartbreak in that Big 12 championship game.
And I'm not saying that they're 200-1 like Northwestern, because I doubt they were. I bet Iowa State to win the Big 12 is maybe like a 40-50-1. But they were not predicted. Clearly you had, I'm sure, Oklahoma was number one, probably Oak State number two, right there neck and neck with Texas. So maybe, I would say, best case, Iowa State was the fourth predicted team to win the Big 12. So I give a lot of credit to the coach, Matt Campbell, because honestly, I've watched it this year, and I normally don't notice this, but this can't happen in college football. Brock Purdy has not looked that good to me this year, just overall. Like, I think that part of it is the fact that he lost a stud running back who's on the Bears in the NFL, and he had a stud wide receiver who's now currently in the NFL. I forget what team he's on. So, to me, I don't think Purdy has progressed as a quarterback, or maybe it's the fact that he had some pro talent around him that's maybe made him regress a little bit overall. So, to me, it's just something.
It's kind of feeling like that Washington quarterback from a couple years ago. Remember when his talent just went out? And all of a sudden, his last year, it wasn't that good. Oh, he's on the damn practice squad for the –
it's not Kerber. It's not – oh, Christ.
Somebody – have fans cheering for him. Like, get him in the game. He's practice squad and shit. But, yeah, he goes up.
So, no, that's a great point, though. Because, I mean, I remember – and I know I had a bet down, but when I bet on games, I watch them pretty closely. Their offense had no answers for Oklahoma State. I know Oklahoma State's had a good defense, but their offense had no rhythm. And then even this past game against Texas, I mean, Breece Hall really has done Brock Purdy a lot of favors. Breece Hall has been one of the best running backs in the country this whole year, Chris. And what amazes me is either maybe it's a combination of Purdy regressing or their offensive coordinator just lacking some creativity. Or maybe their wide receivers aren't that fast. But the surprising part is statistically, based on height, they have the tallest wide receiving core of people in college and NFL combined.
Wow.
So maybe it's the fact that these guys who I think average height's like 6'4", 6'5", aren't that
must
fast.
Be raw. Yeah.
There's something.
Stiff.
But
yeah.
You see all this, and again, they won. They're winning, but he's not showing as much as I expect. So again, I'll tip the hat to Campbell. A nice win. And I could keep bragging about Iowa State and Ames, Iowa, because they're awesome. But I'm going to go a different route and say I'm pretty sure now I think the writing's on the wall. Good old Tom Herman. Dude, I think your time's over, man. There's even – I've heard some rumors that, like, I personally have not heard them, but I've heard sport people suggest rumors saying that boosters are looking at Urban Meyer. Like, dude, Tom Herman, like, you've had 4 years now. You've done nothing to progress your team. You've not won a Big 12 title. I believe you played for one against Oklahoma a couple of years ago, but you lost. The outstanding number I want to share with you, Chris, and I'll throw it back to you, is that I believe, and I don't know these numbers exactly, but when Mac Brown was in Texas, they say he could literally pick any kid he wanted. Like, Mac Brown owned the state of Texas.
Sure.
And since Tom Herman has taken over, he's lost the state of Texas recruiting, which I believe, and I know you probably know this better than me, but I think the top four states in the country for football recruiting is, in no particular order, California, Florida,
actually,
Texas.
There is an order, and it's Florida, South Florida, but yeah, keep going.
Okay. So Florida, California, Texas, and Pennsylvania, I believe, are the top four. Okay, so Texas
is
obviously
pretty close too.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So I live in a state where it's a hotbed for college football recruits. Obviously, it's Texas. It makes sense. But of the top 300 players coming out this year who will be freshmen next year, and I believe there was 20 of them in the top 300, Tom Herman signed one. Mm. So Texas had 20 kids in the top 300 this year, and you got one. So clearly your team has struggled. You've not won a title and you're not getting the top dogs now in the state either. Like Chris, I've never liked the guy. I'll admit that. But aside from me liking him or not, I don't like Urban Meyer, but Urban Meyer's a hell of a coach, you know? Clearly I think Herman's time is gone. You could have maybe salvaged it if you'd won this game. Cause if Texas had won, they could be playing for potentially the Big 12 title, but you lose the game. You had a heartbreaking loss. Iowa State was down for most of the game. Texas actually had control for a majority of the game.
Very winnable game.
It was very winnable. So I think Herman's gone. I don't know if the Urban Meyer rumors are true. But God, that would be a hell of a coach, dude. If you put Urban Meyer in Texas for recruiting, he's kind of a slime ball in my opinion, but that dude can coach a hell of a football team. You want to put Texas back on the map fast, you put Meyer in Austin, dude. That's a scary looking team in about maybe give it a year.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, you're right. And I'll say this, like, in the last 15 years or so, especially maybe the last, about that time, 12 years, whatever, there has been TCU became a program. Texas Tech got some talent, especially on the wide receivers and that. Isn't Liberty in Texas too? Like, I'll say this.
No, Liberty is East Coast.
Okay, my bad. Really? I thought Liberty was a Southern school. Okay, but anyway, I'm not giving him. I'm saying in general, Texas, since Mack Brown is what I'm saying. You know, there's just more, people to grab some talent, but. But if Texas Tech can get to where they did, and be the one or two, number two, and make a clutch, catch and win that game like they did, and then you can point to this, and then you can point to Iowa State, and then you can point to other stuff and go, TCU, like I mentioned, well, they put together some pretty good seasons somewhere in there. So, there's more competition, but, it is what it is. So, yeah, that's interesting and not too surprising. A lot of the theme is we don't know how good teams are this year, kind of. That's what we're going on. And that was something that we didn't know about Oregon per se. They had a lead against Oregon State all the way up to 24-13, I think it was the highest, 21-10, I think, somewhere in that range. But when you look at the second half, once Oregon State got going, and I chose them as against the spread because I thought I saw them against Washington, and I thought, being that it's a rivalry game, maybe they can sneak under the 20 it was. I think it was 20 and a half or something like that. And they did more than that. But look at this. Look at this freaking drives down the stretch. Just in the second half. But then I'm talking about Oregon. And, of course, Oregon State. Oregon, did score in here. But offensive possessions. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Turnover on downs, which is 13 play, 55 yards, 6-minute drive. And then, oh, by the way, another 10 play drive, touchdown, that won them the game. And you see punt, you see some touchdowns, but you see interception and fumble to end the game. Oregon goes down. Like I said, we don't know how good teams are right now, but we know that. That put a little dent in Oregon's pride, especially as a rival. But that was a really fun game. UCF in South Florida was just a score fest. Not a huge surprise there, 58-46, although South Florida hasn't been that good in the last 2 years. So competing with that kind of surprised me. Stanford and Cal, 24-23, that was a close game. A lot of teams took care of business or bounced back. After taking care of business, Michigan, I mean, they lost in our crappy pick of the week. Penn State got off the schneid, but I mean, Michigan right now, dude. So and this is from that athletic stat thing that they put out every week. Michigan lost to a team with a 0-5 record or worse for the first time in its history. 1,350 games, Marshall. That's a lot of games for not doing something like that, and they did it. So yeah, that is about as ugly as it gets. I also want to give a big shout out to that Patterson dude from Buffalo. We'll get to his numbers in just a second. What else, you know, you want to comment on some of those games I mentioned or anything else when it comes to week 13?
Yeah. Speaking of giving shout outs and running backs, so we mentioned Breece Hall, dude, proper name, Jamar Jefferson, dear Lord, you want to talk about a badass running back, dude, that Oregon State running back is one of the best running backs in the country. He won't get the hype because he's not, his name is not Bama, LSU, Ohio State on the helmet, but that dude is one, easily one of the best running backs I've seen all year, like just period. I mean, I don't care how good or bad Oregon State's or Oregon's run defense is, but 29 carries, 226 yards, an 82-yard touchdown run, like, or 82 yards was as long, I'm guessing it was a touchdown. That dude put on a show. And I just, you can, you know, and you know this, Chris, we've watched football for a long time. You can just tell sometimes when a guy's a stud, even if you're on a shitty team, you can just tell from the explosiveness of a running back, like, dude, this guy's good. And it was fun to watch that game because he single-handedly kind of carried him back in the game. As you mentioned, they were down 13, and it just kind of kept chipping away. Big run, score. You know, and eventually, Oregon got a little lazy, maybe content on offense. But the kicker at the end of the game is just kind of wrap this one up because it was kind of crazy. So Oregon State is driving down, and, you know, then Oregon starts calling timeouts because Oregon State was down 4, so they had to score. And Oregon's like, okay, shit, well, if they score here, we need time on the clock. So there's timeouts back and forth, and there's PI, there's call, there's everything going on. And then Oregon State tries to score from 3rd and goal on the inch line. Like, they've had a false start, offsides, everything. It's like you're literally the ball, if the ball tipped over, it's on the end zone or in inside the end zone for a touchdown. So Oregon State runs a quarterback sneak, and he gets stuffed. And then at the end of the play, you see this guy on Oregon, literally, and I saw on the replay, I don't know how the F the refs missed it, pull the Oregon State quarterback out by his leg, which I believe has now become a penalty. I don't know if it's – I know in the NFL for sure you cannot pull a guy off the pile. But this dude, like, literally just pulls the quarterback out of the pile after the whistle was dead. And the quarterback, like, freaking, like, must have, like, torn his quad. So he's, like, limping and gimping, Chris. He's, like, in pain, shrieking. So you now have an injury timeout. Oregon calls their last timeout. And this, the backup quarterback has to come in on a 4th-and-1 with the game on the line. I've never seen this shit happen. So old boy comes in, gets under center, has not taken a snap all year. Quarterback sneak for the W, pulls it off. It was some crazy shit, but good for Oregon State. I know they no longer call it the Civil War, but we will. A nice victory by Oregon State. But have you ever seen, Chris, a dirty pull out the pile, backup quarterback comes in, sneaks it for the win, and now he's the celebration player on the field?
I got to say, I don't really recall that exact part. You know, like, I mean, I recall it from the game, but yeah, I'm trying to think just when you're talking about it, like, yeah, I don't really remember that. Like, we've had some people come off the bench and stuff, like, but that whole process, the way you broke it down was wonderful.
So yeah, I'm happy they won. That was a good victory. And yeah, for Penn State, like, dude, Michigan, it just gets worse and worse for Michigan. I you assume Penn State was going to get a W at some point. They do have a lot of talent. They've had some injuries. So, I mean, credit there, I guess, whatever. It's not, that game really doesn't matter to the big picture. We're just so used to speaking on both of those teams.
I mean, it matters to this podcast, though.
It does. And that was a W for us. That puts us, I believe, 8-3 on the year. So a W there for us. But yeah, overall, again, I know I touched on it. Credit to my boy Lane Kiffin. He did not cover, but he won his first ever Egg Bowl. I'm telling you, if he can get just a half-caliber defense, I'm not saying he's going to be saving, but he could actually put together a pretty nice squad because offensively, yeah, he's making things work, but defensively, they're so effing miserable. It's not even close. I know we talked about this, and I'm kicking myself. I was really stupid. I said if I was going to bet the Iron Bowl, I said take Bama or take nothing. And my dumb self took the over in the Egg Bowl, and I should have just bet Bama minus 24 like a smart man would, so I could have enjoyed my birthday drinks more.
It looked close for a while, though. It looked like what I say, Bo Ryan. It looked like Bo Ryan. He looked more like Bo Ryan in the second half than Bo Nix.
But it was a roll tide, 42-13. Bama won and covered. I've done this for so many years where I give my pick to a friend. Even like a week ago, I told my buddy, he's like, what's your pick for the weekend? I know you like to bet sports. I was like, take Mizzou minus six. Mizzou covers. And of course I bet on a different game. I need to start listening to what I say and just go and bet instead of giving out free money. I need to make money for myself and quit second guessing what I tell people. I guess I don't know. I got issues. And to then I'll say this and throw it back to you. Indiana, who was having a really, really just fun, miraculous year, they did pull off the victory against Maryland. So I was wrong on that Maryland pick. But unfortunately, Penix got hurt for the year.
Yeah. So ACL or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, dude, you're having one of your best years of your of college history, and then your quarterback freaking busts up his knee, and now he's out for the year. Right. That's a tough beat. So I hope they continue to pull off a few more wins to cap off what is literally a mystery season. But dude, you lose your quarterback with only a couple of games to go, and I know that people are kind of high on this new prospect, but it is super hard coming cold into a season with a kind of a lot of pressure on your shoulders, Chris. That's unfortunate for Penix because he was having himself a really nice season.
Yeah, at least he's got a go-to guy to throw the ball to. But, yeah, you're right. And even though they'll change the rules, which doesn't surprise me, but if Ohio State misses one more game, they can't qualify. And you know who would be next in line? Indiana. So what a fucking bummer to have that happen. I don't think it'll happen. I think they will tweak the rules, but it would just suck to be like, yeah, Indiana's in the conference final. Oh, their best, their starting quarterback's out. It's very Minnesota sports-like, let's put it that way. True, so we got to give a shout out to this Patterson dude from frickin', what is it, Buffalo, I think. This guy, over the last two games, he has 710 yards. It's the most in a two-game span in FBS history. Last week, he had a school record 301. And actually, he joined – it was the second player to have consecutive 300 yards. And Ricky Williams was his name, 1998, speaking of Texas. Right now, Ricky Williams isn't walking through those doors because they don't even have running backs. They got to have a, you know, their own quarterback doing all there. But now Patterson now has the three highest single game history performance in Buffalo history, obviously. I mean, this dude is just put up some crazy numbers when you start to look at it. And he was at half. He had eight touchdowns overall. But at half, this Jarrett Patterson had 267 and five touchdowns on 18 carries. So in the last six quarters, he had 568 and 9 TDs, dude. Like, this dude, we got to give him some props. And then just to go around, just so you know, who, you know, some stuff, I brought up Ricky. But most games gaining 300 yards or more, four of them, Mr. Barry Sanders in Oklahoma State, 1988, all in that year, by the way. Just to kind of put it in reference. But when you look at single game recently, we had that Samaje Pierre from Piron from Oklahoma. He had 427. Melvin Gordon, as we know him, 408. LaDainian Thomason, 408. Marshall Falk, 386. Like, dude, this dude put up some freaking numbers, dude. That Buffalo dude, man, he just went off. I had to give him a segment, dude. Anytime you get 409 rushes with eight touchdowns, I'm going to say something.
I think that's literally even better than, like, you know, Madden can do. Like, you know, I bet some people say, oh, well, he put up Madden numbers.
Right.
you would have, even if you're playing rookie mode, you'd have to like really, really have some incredible play calls in Madden to pull out. That's above Madden numbers. That's hard to say. And unless you're playing like a full 60-minute Madden game, do credit to him. And yeah. To kind of wrap up this week, the new thing now in college football and even pro football, especially for betting, is these running backs now who, I'm going for a touchdown. I'm going to fall down at the one. So if you bet Oklahoma State, just a swift kick to the you-know-what. Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, the game was actually really fun to watch. It was back and forth, craziness all over the place. But Oklahoma State, I believe they were minus 12. They're up 6. The dude's about to run in for a touchdown. I'm going to choke the one, take knee, and be over. So and I know a couple weeks ago the Browns did it. The Browns did it against the Texans. I believe it was Nick Chubb. He ran out the one, you know, because it's now become the smart thing. People don't want to ever have an onside kick get recovered, and you know, all of a sudden you blow a game, you look like a fool. And I know in college football, it's easier to cover an onside kick. So I respect that these players are now doing the smart thing to preserve a win. But if that's your winning ticket, man, it's got to be a sick feeling to jump off the couch, get ready to Tiger Woods fist pump, cash in a bet, and then old boy pulls up on the one. I'm good. Mm. Ooh. That Chris, that's tough. So I did bet Oak State. But man, those pull up at the ones, those are starting to become some bad beats that I don't think that trend's going away anytime soon.
Yeah, no doubt about it, dude. No doubt about it. All right, so before we get into week 14, before we start picking some of these games or looking at maybe an upset of the week or against the spread, can a team lose by less than 20 type stuff, we're going to have a little debate here on the college football playoff rankings. This is the second week, of course, that they put them out. Alabama number one, Notre Dame number two, Clemson number three, Ohio State number four, A&M number five, Florida six, Cincinnati seven, Georgia eight, Iowa State popped up 4 spots to 9. The Canes are 10, and I suppose we can kind of stop right there. BYU still undefeated 9 at 13. Marshall's undefeated. They're 21. There's also what the hell is that damn? There's somebody that's 9-0 or something too, but my damn page just went off. But the real debate, as we know, is where should Cincinnati, Ohio State, and really let's say the top 6 or 8. What says you about this stuff, sir?
So now in a regular year, Chris, I do get that like the top dog schools are going to get the love because it's just the name and reputation. And it's the fact that your schedules balance each other out because everyone's essentially played the same amount of games. On a year like this, where Cincinnati has played 8 games, and again, I know that on paper, if they were to play Ohio State, they'd probably lose. But that game's not happened. Like, I kind of see with Florida A&M, I could argue with Florida A&M and Cincinnati, who's the better team. But the only reason Ohio State is in fourth is because of their name and reputation. So if we're in a year
beat a ranked team. Let's not forget about that.
True, but you've only played 4 games. Like, you've played half the damn schedule. And who's to say Ohio State couldn't have a slip-up game like many college teams do? You know, it's rare. We do live in a time where Bama and Clemson pretty much always go undefeated every year. Like, Ohio State could lose a Big Ten game. It wouldn't be out of the question. So it blows my
especially
mind.
Especially if it was in Iowa at night.
Oh, Kinnick at night, dude, that's a wrap. Yeah. So if we start seeing people make exceptions, let's say Michigan has COVID or someone has COVID, all of a sudden, Ohio State, we're going to find a way to fit you in. Like, if that's the point, it's never going to work for a small school. And again, I know most of the time these smaller schools don't go undefeated and something happens. But in a year like this, where it's just it almost does make it to the point where it's always going to be the same teams every single time. And again, maybe they are the best teams, but hell, in a given year of 2020, either add some more teams to the playoffs, like Cincinnati, if they run the table, should legit have a chance to compete for the title this year. If they don't win it, so be it. But as very people say, we've also had some ass kickings happen in the playoffs. So you can't always tell me that the best four teams always should make it in. Like last year, sure. LSU, they ran Oklahoma once. Out the damn gym.
Yeah, in one of the games, it usually happens, really.
There normally is a blowout. Almost every Final Four, there's almost always a blowout.
Yep.
So, again, I don't hate Ohio State, but I just realistically, if we're going to compare schedules, because Ohio State could potentially maybe play just five or six games here, potentially five. If you can throw a team in Ohio State who's played five games this year in over Cincinnati, what are we really doing with the rankings? Like, what is the point if you're a school? And again, you know, to give credit to BYU, I know that their schedule got adjusted, but BYU this year's schedule actually a really good schedule. I kind of wish BYU's original schedule played out because they had three or four high caliber opponents. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they would have gotten undefeated, Chris, but if they had, dude, they'd be right up there next to Cincinnati.
They'd have a more pace. Their schedule's really bad right now.
Again, I Bama number one, completely agree. Notre Dame number two, they normally always do give themselves a pretty hard schedule. No issues there. And you beat Clemson. Even though a back quarterback, nice win. Clemson number three, again, part of that's name and reputation, but they normally always do kick the crap out of their opponents. Okay, so again, Clemson's the name, the reputation, they've earned it, so be it. But after that, Ohio State, name and reputation, but you've played four games, you know. So I don't think they should be a four. But if they're there now, one thing we've learned from the committee, they're probably not going to go backwards anymore at all. Like, I think if Cincinnati was going to get in, they'd be closer now than they already are. Again, if you want to, and I know I mentioned this to you when we had our conversation, and then I'll throw this to you so I don't go on too big of a rant here. But why not right now have it to be where it's A&M, Florida, Cincy, Ohio State? Like, the reason Ohio State is up there is because of their name, and that's pretty much the legit reason. Yes, you did beat Indiana, who is a good win, okay? But you also, you kicked the crap out of Nebraska. Penn State's not a good win this year, and you beat Rutgers. So you have one respectable win, and you're fourth in the country. That is not fair if we're talking about a decent setup system for Cincinnati. I get that Cincinnati's had you could say is in a weaker conference, which is true. But you played eight games. Like, I think we have a messed up system, but it doesn't surprise anyone, Chris, just because I think people are predicting Ohio State's going to find a way to get in. The committee will do something to find a way to get them in, and I think that shows a flaw in our system. I know it's not going to change, and me bitching does no good, but I'd be shocked if Ohio State didn't make it in, and I wish I wasn't saying that.
Well, when we say system, do you mean overall, or do you mean this year? Like, we've talked about this time and time again with the fifth or sixth. We're willing to go five or six teams, and that would have got Central Florida in more than likely, because remember, Florida's going to lose more than likely unless they beat Bama, right? And do we think they're going to beat Bama? Probably not. So they're going to be knocked off. A&M already lost to Bama. They'll be in that realm maybe. So when you say flawed system, do you mean we should – like, in general, like, we should add a fifth or sixth team this year, especially because of the – we should have eight, something we said at the beginning of the year.
I say the flawed system because the two times teams have ever made it into the college football playoff who did not win their conference were Ohio State and Bama. So it comes back to the kind of the good old boys of who are the top dogs in college football? Oh, well, it's Bama. It's Ohio State. Let's throw them in. And again, could you argue that they're the better teams? Yes, but why do we always, and again, I know that just kind of how this is how I would say the system goes, but do we always have to have it to where it's always Bama, Ohio State, Clemson every year? Again, maybe they are the best on paper, but is that really the fair system for college football to where we're always going to make an exception for those teams when on a given year, another team has just as good of a track record, but their resume and their name doesn't carry the same weight. So tough shit, you're out. That's just, again, it's not going to change, but it's unfortunate because that's it. But I have a rant though that many other people do have, unless you're an Ohio State or Bama fan. And again, they've earned it, but yeah. So Now, let me ask you.
Hold on. Let me say my something. I haven't even said anything. Jesus Christ, what the hell? No.
I'll drink some water. I'll take a break.
Now, when we say, I mean, we know for a fact the SEC is better than the AAC. That's life. That's period. Every single time, it is. It just is. And we know that Cincinnati was in there. We don't know if they would be undefeated either, even 4 or 5 games. The problem with Cincinnati, I think that stands out about Cincinnati, much like Central Florida in some ways, to me, it is their defense. That lends itself some credentials to me. But when we look, they've had 8 games, no doubt. I understand that. But when we look at their wins, so right now their best win is SMU. Now they have Tulsa, and Tulsa went neck and neck with the Oklahoma State. I almost beat them the first game of the year, if I'm not mistaken. So that's that. At least you've crossed that, because that's another thing. We didn't get the non-conference, and that's when some of this stuff at least either gets decided, or you say, well, this team did and they matched up, and at least you can have something like that. And that's something that we're not getting, unfortunately. So when your best win is that, well, SMU is pretty good, but, you know, they've lost to 2 other teams too. And Central Florida is not as good as they were. Memphis is not as good as they were. So you got to put it all in perspective, but they've been beaten up on teams, and that's the key. They only have that tight game really with Central Florida. Otherwise, they've been doing their job. Now they end the season, because one of their games got last week got canceled. They end the season with a key win there, Tulsa. So, you know, when we've talked about this, and obviously Indiana's a different team now. We just mentioned that with their quarterback. But if you put SMU and Indiana on a field, now that you've seen Indiana against Ohio State, we don't know how that would turn out, you know, no doubt about it. But to be so blindly towards Cincinnati when they only have one good win, and it's a pretty good win. I think Indiana's probably better than SMU, but I'm not going to sit here and go out on a limb and be like, oh, my God. I mean, they did lose 2 other teams to 2 other teams. But that's not like some sort of death sentence. But I understand what you're saying. I see, with the one loss, A&M, Florida, A&M only lost to Alabama. Florida and A&M have more game, or just as many games almost, and they've played a harder schedule. That's just clear cut. So I'm not so crazy. Like the Ohio State thing, I get it. They have a better win, but the 4 games I do get, and we are not done with this thing, because they do have more to at least – they only have one more game. I mean, Michigan State, mediocre, as we know. Watch, this is going to be the year. But even if they take on Northwestern, pretty good club. But Tulsa, Northwestern, that would be a good game, right? So I just think this really screams to having 8 this year. Now go ahead, and then we got to move on, though.
Sure.
But go ahead with your question.
All right. Well, so you answered it. So I'll just finish with this. I think that the situation, like, let's compare it to Boise, because for a long time, Boise was a situation that then transformed into UCF, that now transformed into Cincy this year. Boise's conference was never really even comparable to other conferences. Now, again, I'm not saying, for the record, in bold print with like 35 font, that the Big East is the equivalent of the Big Ten or SEC. American Conference, yeah.
Mountain West and AAC is the
shout out to the Big East basketball tournament we used to love and watch when we lived together. but my point is that it's not a joke of a conference either. Like, we just mentioned the fact that, and again, on a given year, crazy shit happens. Some teams have down years, but on a regular, consistent basis, in college football over the past 5 years, I would say UCF, Memphis, SMU, and Cincinnati have been ranked almost every time in a given season. So it's not a joke for conference. Again, when people are pulling
explosive.
Yeah, when people are always pulling for the a team like the Boise State story, I kind of get that because that really was your once in a miracle. Like, dude, who have you beat? Come on, work with me. Like, and they didn't have much to show because they were pretty much the top dog in their conference. And they would have a game against Nevada, who was like the rival game, and that was sometimes close. But at least in this situation, Cincinnati is, again, not in the SEC, but they're not in a conference where no one knows the teams, you know. And if we're going to say, you know, teams have up years and down years and COVID's caused craziness, well, let's give Cincinnati a break because, you know, regular year, their conference is stronger too. So, again, the rant is over. I do think if Cincinnati runs the table and they win their conference tournament too, I think they deserve a spot in. I don't think it will happen.
It'd probably be again, back-to-back Tulsa.
That'd be a pretty impressive looking resume, you know, just because the fact that there's a zero. That's the other part, is that if you have a zero on your schedule, what more can you ask of a team? Because like Cincinnati went and scheduled out a week long conference on purpose. So
right, yeah. And then obviously the jump back on that is, well, if you put Cincinnati in the SEC, they're not going to. Well, that's kind of a basic thing. You know, they may have two losses. They may have three. They may only have one, you know. Kind of matters what the cross-sectional, kind of matters where they're at on the side and all that. You know, it is definitely interesting. And we do get a look at them in the cool thing is at least out of the top eight, they always now make sure. They never used to do this before, and that's called – slow process, but at least they do get the New Year's Eight. They get in there and then they can make some noise and try to do Boise State, because then the next year maybe they can be ranked higher earlier, which will help them. But really five teams, you know, six tops could really take care of a lot of stuff we're talking about, but especially this
sure
year. But let's get going here though.
Okay.
We got it out. We got it out of the way. Week 14, the Raging Cajuns. There's other games. There's plenty of other games. Indiana, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Iowa State could be tricky. There's some interesting games. Your squad's playing on a Sunday at 6:30. this is college football 2020. But let's look at this game. This is going to be a Friday night game, 7:30 Central. ESPN. Number 25, Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, going against a tough non-power five club that's always been kind of just there and pretty good, and they do produce NFL. They got the squad as the underdog, dude. They think the Raging Cajuns, and not only that in Vegas, but even, and this is my co-host's favorite stat, he just looks at this. That's all he does.
Sure.
According to ESPN's Football Power Index, they got 7-2 at 56.3. They think that they're just going to have no problem there at Kid Brewer Stadium. Kid Brewer, you know, the Appalachians have it with COVID right now, so I don't know how many people are going to be in Kid. Actually, I don't even see a ticket available. So that kind of – oh, wait, forget it. I see it. So how do you see that? Actually, I don't think you can buy a ticket. I just tried to. It just linked me to Vivid Seats, but there's no price. Maybe they are having more problems. But, are they kind of underestimating our Raging Cajuns here, dude?
I think so. I mean, Coastal Carolina, who is also probably the best team in the whole conference, arguably.
That's who I was trying to think of.
They beat Coastal Carolina, beat App State. And, I mean, the Raging Cajuns are having a hell of a year, too. So I could easily see them beating App State as well. I think our Cajuns, I think it's maybe if you want to call the game a coin flip, so be it. But at least in the when App State played Georgia State, they were like a massive favorite. I remember that because I bet it. Their offense was pretty much non-existent. Their offense was really bad. And then they also against Coastal Carolina, offense didn't do too much. So, and I know the Raging Cajuns kind of play like a slower moving game, and their offense in the first half has struggled a lot this year as well. But the Raging Cajuns have good defense. So I would expect a lower scoring game, but I could easily see the Raging Cajuns winning this game. I mean, App State, besides beating up on Troy, has had some a pretty rough month of offensive games. So I could easily see our boys win. I hope they do. And then you would have a hell of a conference title game between Coastal Carolina, the Raging Cajuns. Dude, sign me up for that. That'd be a fun one to watch, Chris.
If you're looking for storylines, which, you know, when there's 14 freaking games canceled a week, you got to find them. And we're trying to just entertainment, just good college football. Like, hey, that was a fun game to watch. Or, obviously, putting some Skrilla down on some stuff. Now, on paper, number 12, Indiana, number 16, Wisconsin, seems like a great matchup. Like, oh, dude, here we go. Indiana's got a chance to prove it. 14-point spread. It seems, I guess, about right because, you know, the old quarterback got hurt, and now you're breaking in a young buck. Do you see them maybe sneaking under the spread? Or are you going to go out on a limb and say, hey, who knows what the Badgers are going to bring? I'm picking the Hoosiers.
God, that I mean, the quarterback going for Indiana has never played a snap. Like, he's a young, talented recruit, but what do we don't know anything about him. And Indiana's defense, for the most part, has been pretty respectable. So I guess if you're a Hoosier fan, you're hoping that your defense causes five turnovers like Northwestern did against Wisconsin. But it's the Badgers are probably pretty pissed off after their loss. You've had a lot of time to prep. I'd expect a much better offensive performance. You're probably going to just, I would expect an overall better game. And we do know the Badgers' defense is really good. Their offense may be up and down at moments, but I'd imagine that defense is going to be pretty set up properly for some English talk. I don't know what the hell I was saying. But their defense is going to be ready to go. And you have a backup quarterback making his first start against a top-tier defense in your division. Good luck. I would take Wisconsin or no bet. I could easily see the Badgers have one of their classic fourth quarter drives, milk the clock down in the game to punch in and win by double digits. So I would bet Badgers. Maybe this kid turns out to be a freak of a quarterback and a stud, and we do know that Indiana has one of the best receivers in college football. But it's not like the rest of the world doesn't know that either. So, yeah, I would lean Wisconsin with the points, Chris.
Yeah, the combo of the run, the defense to stuff the run, and new quarterback, and just the fact that they can run and pass, I just think that they'll find a way to get it. And I like how you said that. That might be – they might hit that spread basically just, punching it at the end. That's probably a good call. The Ohio State Buckeyes, who we just mentioned, number four in the country. Did you hear that? They're number four, Marshall. Michigan State, just coming off a nice win. 24 points. Now, this is style points. If there's one thing Ohio State does need, though, they need style points. Can they style on Michigan State and beat them by more than 24? Or can Sparty put together back-to-back weeks, which they haven't been able to do thus far, and sneak under that 24 and make Ohio State look a little bad when they're trying to win by like 30 or 40 to keep their spot, even though they're probably keeping it.
Who are we to doubt Sparty this year? You won as a 24-point underdog. You beat Northwestern. If I was to bet this game, though, Chris, I would take this has been a common theme in the last couple of years, especially with Ohio State and Bama, is bet Ohio State first half. And I'm going to do it because I'm going to stay on the show, so I'm going to do it in person so I don't freaking screw up. So I'm taking Ohio State first half because Ohio State does love to come out the gates, kick the crap out of them, and then kind of ease into the second half. Mind you, that Indiana game where Indiana's quarterback threw for 490 yards, game at one point was 28 or 35-7. So again, Ohio State came out, beat the brakes off, and then let them come back. So I will be taking Ohio State first half. I will make that bet for $100. I'm doing it, so I don't forget. But yeah, I do think that Ohio State does need a style point victory. I know they've now gotten rid of the margin of victory. Like the NCAA doesn't need people to win by 72-10 to prove a point. But
it's in the back of your head.
Yes. And I do think Ohio State knows that we're not the only people in the world right now who are thinking, should they be in? So they're going to probably want to put up their best performance. I'm still not sure about their numbers, though. I don't believe their head coach is going to be there. And if the head coach is sick, I know that others are players out. So I'd maybe want to do an injury report check. Because in a year where there's so many, especially the COVID been in the Big Ten conference has been going like crazy. I believe I heard someone report your Gophers had like 40 players. Like, do a little research and see if Ohio State's missing any studs, because a couple of studs out, all of a sudden that 24-point spread, Chris, looks a little bit different.
Yeah, it's kind of a 2020 deal. It's like 20 players, 20 staff members and stuff like that. But yeah, it's and also the Big Ten and Pac-12 have longer times out too. Instead of 2 weeks or whatever, it's 3 weeks. So that it's hard to get back. That's why you see even more issues going on. So A&M, number 5 in the country, because they beat Florida and hung with Alabama for a half a second. Well, if they're so bad, then why are they only favored by 7 points on the road? Really doesn't matter this year. A&M, Auburn, Bo Nix, Bo Ryan. Is he going to look like Bo Nix or Bo Ryan? And also Oklahoma State, TCU. Oklahoma State only favored by 2.5. I kind of like them to win, obviously. But Vegas is saying, hey, both those games are going to be tighter than we think on paper. A&M needs that nice little W, too, because Auburn's played a bunch of top teams and got their butt kicked.
Oh, but Christ, Auburn's. Auburn.
We know they got a quarterback. He's been there for 19 years. The A&M Aggies. So I mean, he's solid as hell.
Auburn at home is better than Auburn on the road. I know that.
Yeah.
I think they used up their free passes for virtual assistant wins this year. I'm still pissed about the Ole Miss game, for the record. If sportsbooks gave people money for the Purdue bet, the finger hitting the ball in the Ole Miss game was even worse. But I move on. I wouldn't touch the game. I mean, this is a potential let up spot for A&M, or I should say a spot to choke. Auburn, you never quite know what you're going to get. Clearly, A&M's a better team. But Auburn has that way of just having those weird-ass games where, you know, Malzahn makes up a good game plan and Bo Nix looks okay. Next thing you know, A&M falls apart. Like, nothing would surprise me in that game, Chris. I'll honestly say that. I think A&M's going to win. That would really
help you, too. That would help your theme for Cincinnati, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%, yes, that would. I wouldn't bet the game. I'll pick Bo Nix to. I'll pick Auburn to win. Who the hell cares? That game is so crazy. Just because you never quite sure what to get with Auburn, and for Oklahoma State TCU, Oklahoma State's still playing for what could be a potentially nice bowl this year. Or actually, though, realistically, if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you gotta be saying, "Good old Country Roads, take me home, West Virginia." And if they beat Iowa State, all of a sudden. I mean, Oklahoma State beat Iowa State, too, so you're not completely out the running yet. So if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you want to be pulling for West Virginia, take care of business against TCU. The bits and pieces I've seen in TCU this year, I don't think they're quite as gifted offensively as they normally are. You know that Gary Patterson's always normally going to have a very respectable defense, but I do not think this is the TCU – of the last couple of years, we have a future NFL wide receiver. If they do, I apologize. Yeah. So I think this is a winnable game for Oklahoma State. Your defense will travel. We know your quarterback is average. You have a stud wide receiver, though, and a good running back. So I think it's a winnable game. I would take Oklahoma State to win. And your running back can't really jump on the 1 yard line unless you won by one or two, which would be really weird to do that. So I don't think you should have to worry about a backdoor cover. But yeah, I would take Oklahoma State to win that game. Because they're still easily contending for what could be a Big 12 championship. And they've not had one of those for – it's been a while for them as well.
And do you think Iowa State's going to take care of business there at home?
Oh,
not that
God.
It totally matters, but do you think that they can just beat West Virginia and cross the line, just get past the finish line? Is it just one more game or two? Oh, wait. I was going to say it's Kansas. This is their last game. Can they get across the line? and beat West.
If you win, you play for the Big 12 title. Like, everything is on the line. I do know West Virginia has a respectable defense. I know that their record isn't exactly sexy, but this is not a joke of a team. And you see that by it only being a 6-point spread. So, I mean, hell, this – okay, so
– Oklahoma ducked them last week, too, talking about, oh, we got to sit out because of COVID. They ducked them, dude.
Yeah, again, this is a game I would stay away from betting. Just to look over last three games for West Virginia, you beat Kansas State 37-10. Obviously, Kansas State's dropped out a little bit with the quarterback injury. You lost at Texas 17-13. You beat TCU 24-6. So this defense is pretty damn good for West Virginia. And I've talked about it all year. I think Purdy's regressed. You're just lucky to have a great running back named Breece Hall. So I would say this. If Iowa State, if it was a full stadium at Ames, because they kind of have that little thing, their venue is pretty special. I know it's not like an SEC stadium, but they actually have a really badass home field. I think if it was a home field game, I would give them the for sure win. I think since they were in an empty stadium or maybe 20% capacity, I don't know what Iowa's doing. I think it's just a coin flip game. I think there's a lot of pressure on your team. Your defense better come to play, because you know that West Virginia's will. I'll take West Virginia in the upset. I just think that Purdy has a tough game and the pressure gets to him. I hope I'm wrong, but I would bet West Virginia, because 6 points is a lot in a team that plays pretty close games.
And we do have, I just looked at the time. We do have to pick it up here. Two more things to talk about. I'm picking straight up, or at least with the points against the spread, Liberty to beat number 18 Coastal Carolina. They're 11-point underdog. That is my upset of the week. Or at least, if you don't believe me, which I understand, against the spread. Under that, I like. Also, I want your take on your squad, number 20, USC, 3-0. They're playing on a Sunday night because, of course, this is COVID.
I'm torn. I did see that
FS1 Sunday night 6:30 Central
Jesus
time.
Jesus Christ! I'll have to check and see what the NFL Sunday night game. All right, I'll be double wide with my living room. That works out fine. I did see that they had an ESPN article this week that said that if USC runs the table, they say if they go undefeated, they have like a 73% chance of making the Final Four. So could this be the year where USC wins the Pac-12, runs table, and sneaks in? It's possible. It could. I'm not going to rule it out. I still don't think Clay Helton's a great coach. I still want him gone. But watch the son of a bitch go undefeated and make the Final Four. Be like, oh, you know, dude, 4-year deal. Keep him around. This is our guy.
Oh, God, extend him.
They only got two more games left. They only got two more games. Oh, wait. Yeah, two games left in the conference final. Is that true? Yeah. Man, this is going fast.
I would not take them to win by 13. I think USC could easily win, but this is a team who, of their three games, they've had to have some miraculous, very quick fourth quarter comebacks. So could USC win? 100%. At home, sure. But this team likes to come out flat because their coach sucks. And then Slovis puts together a pretty nice run at the end there. So I would not bet this game.
And then the talent takes over. Like, we got this, coach. We're talented. Yeah.
So I would take Washington Wazoo with the points, Clay Thompson University to cover, and I think USC has another fourth quarter comeback win.
Nice. My Canes are back after a 2-week break. I had back to back weeks with no Gophers and no freaking that's crazy. But anyway, and no Miami. But Miami is back against Duke. But let's get to the crappy pick of the week, sir.
All right. Well, it is a beauty. Just let me find it here. I just had it too. Okay. This is going to be a fun one. And the spread is close too. So just repeat last week. My co-host did take Penn State. We're now 8-3 on the year, so we are literally cashing tickets. I know in Vegas, in Vegas, if you click at a 56% betting clip, that means you're a pretty damn good bettor. We're 8-3 on the year, so take that for what it's worth. We got a Mac game, brother. We're going to the Mac. And we're literally going to use one of the worst teams in college football, but the spread is close. So we'll see. All right. We got the Bowling Green Falcons, who have some ugly ass uniforms, for my opinion. Not that anyone cares, against the Akron Zips. Akron, many people say on the Vegas Sport Talk Network I like to listen to, is probably the worst team in the conference or in the country. But the worst team that many people believe is okay. Let me rephrase this. I get so worked up. A team who many believe is the worst in the country, Vegas Sharps and whatever you want, is a 2.5-point favorite. The worst team in the country, Chris, is taking home points.
Oh, my God.
I'm done. I'm just going to throw it to you. The worst team in college football in the odds of many sport gamblers or professionals is getting 2.5 points at home. Take it away, brother.
My goodness gracious. This one is bad. I mean, is this the worst game we've done? I mean, it's tough to argue that.
This might be the worst game we've ever done.
This might be the worst.
It could. And we've done this segment for, I believe, 7 or 8 years. This could be the worst of all time.
So that means the pressure's on. Oh, boy. Okay.
Look at these numbers.
Bowling Green Falcons. Oh, my God. But, yeah, the numbers are – I mean, that's why I'm looking at – I was looking at, like, okay, who they play, but just the number – yeah, this is the worst. This is by far the worst. I mean, it has to be. I mean, Akron, 16 points. You know, we've seen, like, 18 and whatever, but 16 is bad. Bowling Green's like, oh, hold on. We were 13.5. And what makes it so bad is not one of them. Usually we'll have one that's really bad and then one that's, like, 33 and no, dude, no, that's not the case. Bowling Green gives up 48.5 points, and they play in the MAC. We know MAC football is pretty good, but I mean, who's coming out of the MAC this year? And then Akron, is it the Zips, right?
Yeah.
Is it the Akron Zips? Yeah, the Zips. Dude, you might as well call them offensively the Zips, right? Because it's just zero, basically. But they give up 47. Oh, my God. This is a really bad matchup. Okay, so.
Have you looked at the scores of these teams' games this year?
Yeah, that's the first thing I did. The first thing I'm looking, all right, were they competitive? Was anybody competitive with anything? And I'm looking at it, and it's just like, nope, not really. Although I did see an improvement out of the Zips year to year. So they lost the last game last year. It was rough, 52-3. They turned right back around, though, this year and in November because the MAC was going to do spring football. 24-10 on Ohio. I mean, that's respectable. Okay, that's respectable. So that stands out to me for this shitty pick. Another thing that stands out is Bowling Green is giving up 339 yards on the ground. Like, 225 is bad, but 339, like, okay, you can say the Zips give up 225 and then 264 through the air, but when you're only averaging 144 through the air as Bowling Green, who the hell cares? I'm going with Mr. LeBron James. I know he didn't go to college, but he is from Akron, okay? So I'm going with Akron to get the job done for Bronny at home. The Zips are going to walk away with you, my friend.
I
just picked the worst team in football, and I'm proud of
them. Oh, I was, you know, the past couple of weeks we've had to like pick an SEC and like a Big Ten game because they would actually this year if all the crack teams matched up against each other. But I saw this one, I was like, oh, here we go. All right,
is the best one, dude. This is a classic one.
And I apologize. Gibson. Whenever I do these previews, I always mention the name of the stadium. This is the Infocision Stadium. I'm not sure. InfoCision, maybe that's like an eye company or something. I don't know what that
is. Yeah, there's got to be some kind of big corporation there.
InfoCision. All right. Now, it sounds wrap it up.
Like threatening, doesn't it? I mean, it's rough. 30,000 people. I bet you Braun bought, like, just rebuilt the stadium.
We now will finish with alumni battles. I had this year where I love to compare the alumni of both the schools, saying we pick a winner in this too. We'll start off with Akron. Oh boy. I see a lot of political people I don't know. The first name I recognize is Jason Taylor, the former end for the Miami Dolphins. That's actually okay. That's respectable.
I forgot about that.
One I didn't know at all.
Yeah.
And,
school, but
good old Charlie Fry, who was a former NFL quarterback. Okay. A lot of names I don't know. Oh boy.
I mean, I think once you got LeBron from your hometown, you're pretty much like, all right, dude, that's all we got. What else can we give you?
They got the good old Jim Tressel, the former Ohio State ball coach. That got a little trouble for those tattoos.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you got to get the W.
Ooh. Hey, lately we keep seeming to have pop up. Oh, that Alexa Bliss, the very attractive female wrestler. All right, that's all right. WWE, I'm sure if you're a wrestling fan, Alexa Bliss has, you know, impressed you with her looks or grappling abilities. And after that, that's it. I this is garbage. All right, moving on. So I wouldn't say that's impressive. It's not awful, but it's not impressive. Bowling Green. Nate Thurman, who is a former great basketball player. I believe I recognize that name. Okay, so we have Nate Thurman. Dan Bylsma, who was the former coach from former Pittsburgh Penguins hockey coach, won a Stanley Cup.
That's where I hear that name. I was like, I've heard that name. Okay.
Scott Hamilton was a former American gold figure skater.
Skater, yeah.
Gold. All right. Okay, we're off to a good start. Rob Blake was a former stud defensive hockey player for a long time. Oral Hershiser, also a former great baseball player.
That's nice.
Kevin Bieksa has been a hockey player for good hockey player for the past 15 years. And wrap up. Bowling Green, we're running out of names I recognize. And that about, dear Lord.
So you got to give Bowling Green the nod there.
Yeah, I got to give Bowling Green the nod, for
sure. Even with Bronny just from there, you still got to give him.
So alumni battle goes Bowling Green, and Chris has taken the – Sorry. You're saying that you're giving it to Akron because of LeBron.
That's right. Because you give up 300 and some odd yards on the ground, something's got to give. You know?
Fair enough.
LeBron still has eligibility, dude.
He does. What always kills me is people always say, you know, one of his top school choices was being a Tar Heel. Oh, that would have been such a fun year. It really would have. God damn it.
I think a Garnett at Michigan. I think Kobe was Duke. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Man.
And so, imagine that back in the day when it happened and they stayed another year and then stayed another year. Back in the day when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had the red shirt as a freshman because there was you had a freshman team.
And to wrap up this show, I just saw the good old classic Huggy Bear. Huggins for West Virginia is having those angry fist pumps. Man, that guy looks like he'd be a fun man to go and have some beers with one day. So we'll wrap up with Huggins for West Virginia coach and to wrap up this college football show. On that note, stay safe. We hope everyone had a blessed Thanksgiving. Christmas time's coming up soon, so keep wearing a mask. Keep trying to keep you and your loved ones safe. Enjoy a podcast when you're going to work, working out, or just chilling in bed. Until then, the boys are out. Enjoy watching some football. Have a good one. Peace.